Good morning. So thankful that God is speaking to us today and a challenge to us to always make sure that we're listening. So it's so good to be with you again today. We have Independence Day that we've just passed. Hopefully we had a great 4th of July. And especially on this 250th anniversary of our country, we really do have a lot to be thankful for as Americans. You know, in America, we recognize that our rights don't come from the government. They come from God. The Declaration of Independence reminds us that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Government should be a protector of our rights, but it doesn't give them. Our rights will always come from God. But sometimes it's easy to take our rights for granted, or to see so much bad in our culture, and there's a lot of bad out there, but to see so much bad that we forget to be thankful to the Lord for the good in our country. You know, when it comes to being thankful, I'm reminded of a story. Maybe you've read the novel Robinson Crusoe, or maybe you've heard about it. But if you're not familiar with the story, Robinson Crusoe was on a ship, and he was shipwrecked, and he was the lone survivor of the shipwreck. He was on a faraway, deserted island, and much of his struggle in the book is just surviving with the few supplies that he was able to salvage from the wrecked ship. But the hardest thing for him, really, was just being alone. And at one point in the book, he was extremely discouraged about his situation, about being all alone, about being away from everybody with no hope at that point of being rescued. He was extremely discouraged, and he decided to write down his complaints on some paper that he was able to get from the salvage ship that had wrecked. And he decided to go ahead and do something else, though. Besides put down his complaints, he drew a line down the middle of the paper, and on one side he put his complaints, but on the other side he decided to go ahead and put a corresponding blessing that he had for every complaint that he had. So, for instance, on the left side of the paper he wrote, "I am cast upon a horrible, desolate island, void of all hope of recovery." But then on the right side, the blessing side, he put this, "But I am alive and not drowned, as all my ship's company was." And he went through all the different complaints he had, and for every complaint had a corresponding blessing as well. And, you know, doing that type of thing, countering the bad things in life, which we all experience in a fallen world, and countering that with a blessing is a good thing to do. I think the more we count our blessings, as the old hymn says, the more thankful we'll end up being. But even in the midst of blessing, we can get so distracted with life around us that we forget to give thanks to the Lord for all that he has blessed us with, especially in our country. I'd like to read today from the Gospel of Luke, if you'd like to turn there with me, Luke chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17. And in this passage, this is the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. And in this passage, he's been going from place to place, giving the good news of the gospel. We'll go ahead and pick up in verse 11. So Luke 17, starting with verse 11. Luke 17, starting at verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem," he being Jesus, of course, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Now, of course, leprosy was the most dreaded disease of the ancient world. It would eat away at a person's body, but because the disease was so contagious, lepers would be banished from society and isolated in leper colonies. Beside the obvious physical hardship of leprosy, lepers would often have to leave their families, they'd have to leave their friends, really the whole way of life that they had known. And all they'd have to look forward to in the future was a slow, agonizing death. But in this case, in this passage we're reading, we have the lepers, but Jesus is there. You know, and earlier in Luke, we're told that Christ had healed some lepers and had done some other miracles, of course. And these lepers here in Luke 17 had obviously heard about what Jesus had done, and they knew that he could heal them. Let's go ahead and keep reading, starting in verse 13. It says, "And they lifted," these lepers lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he, Jesus, saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So he did it. He healed them all. You can imagine the absolute joy that those 10 men had at really having their lives back. You know, I find it interesting that Jesus sent them on their way before they were healed. He told them to go, and as they were going, the Bible says here, they were healed. You know, showing themselves to the priest to be inspected was an Old Testament command to verify that they really had been cleansed, that they really didn't have the disease anymore and they weren't contagious, so they could join society again. And maybe Jesus wanted to test their faith to see if they would really go as he commanded, and of course they all did. But maybe he also wanted to test them in another way. Let's keep reading at verse 15. It says, And one of them, one of these lepers, one of these 10 that were going and had been healed, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Only one of those men who had been healed took time to return to the Lord to give him thanks. We can kind of hear the sadness in Jesus' voice as he says, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? No doubt the other 9 were rejoicing. I'm sure they were ecstatic about being healed, but they quickly forgot about the one who had healed them. They forgot about the Lord who had blessed them so. You know, maybe some of them got distracted telling the happy news to their family or friends. Maybe some of them actually went straight to the priest like they were supposed to do. But only one of them, a Samaritan of all people, thought about the great blessing that the Lord had given him and turned back to say, Thank you. Well, there's a lot that we could say about the importance of being thankful in general, but on the day after the 4th of July, I think it would be appropriate for us to take some time to think about some of the things we can be thankful for to God about our own land, America. You know, like those lepers that we read about, we have so much to be thankful to the Lord for, but it's easy to get distracted and focus our attention on other things and to forget to be thankful like we should. For example, if you're like me, it's easy to get discouraged with the state of our culture. We can see the growing secularism and the culture, the shrinking Christian worldview of our citizens, the rampant immorality in our entertainment industry, and we can get discouraged and forget about all the good that God is still doing in our land. Well, today I'd like to talk about 3 things that really we should be thankful for to the Lord in regards to our country. You know, America is certainly not a perfect place, and we should continue to pray that God will work in the hearts of our citizens and bring revival. But after 250 years, we still have so much to thank God for regarding our country. Well, first, I think we need to give thanks for the freedom that we have in America. The first thing we should give thankful for, be thankful for, is the freedom that we have in America. It's easy to take the liberty that we have here in our country for granted. You know, there are so many countries in the world, whether it's a communist country or an Islamic country or a dictatorship, where they don't have the freedom that we do. And where people, particularly believers, are persecuted. You know, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3 tells the Thessalonian believers this. I'm going to go ahead and read. If you'd like to turn there, you're welcome to. 2 Thessalonians 3. He says, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that we have the freedom to preach the gospel, and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So Paul's asking, again, for prayer that they would be delivered to share the gospel, to live out their faith. And it's interesting because the Roman world was one where there is very little freedom, as Paul indicates here. There is no guaranteed freedom of religion or freedom of speech there. And Paul himself, of course, died a martyr's death at the hand of the Roman emperor later on. But the remarkable thing is that we have that kind of freedom, the kind of freedom that he was asking prayer for. We have that kind of freedom here in America. You know, we don't have to be afraid of gathering together like we are today. We don't have to be afraid of being thrown in jail if we share our faith with somebody that we work with or our neighbor. Now, that doesn't mean that living in a free country is easy. Of course, it certainly comes with risks living in a free world, free country in the world, because we live in a sin-cursed world, and exercising our freedom sometimes still comes with a cost. But what a difference it is to live in a land of liberty instead of a place of oppression. You know, it's significant that when the pilgrims came over in 1620 from the old world, and of course they were coming for religious freedom, coming from Great Britain where they were oppressed, oftentimes thrown in jail for trying to live out their faith according to their conscience. They came over the first year, if you know anything about the history, first winter they suffered terribly. Half of the pilgrims that came over died. And yet when the Mayflower, the sailors that had sailed them over were ready to go back to England in the spring when the weather was better, even though half their number died, those that remained, not one of them wanted to go back to England. They valued their freedom too much. They'd rather live with the risks of dying than to give up the freedom that God had given them, the freedom to worship the Lord in their new land. You know, America is founded on biblical principles, and those principles really are what has kept America free. As 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I think we should be thankful for the freedom we have in America. But also I think, second, we should be thankful for the blessings we have here in America. We should be thankful for the blessings we have here in America. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, in America, we have been abundantly blessed in every material way. Our American standard of living couldn't possibly have been imagined by the people who lived during Paul's time. I was reading from some research a while back and stated that we today, in today's society, live better than I think it was like 99% of the people in the history of the world before us. Only kings of the ancient world live better than we live today. We have so many material blessings. We have all the food we can eat. We live in magnificent houses. We enjoy a huge number of education and entertainment opportunities. And yet it's important to remember that God has blessed us so abundantly, not just for our pleasure, so that we can have a good life, although we can, but so that we can bless others as well. One church I attended when I lived in Virginia a number of years ago had a tradition. Once a month, they would meet together, they would have a meal together, and after the meal, they would spend the afternoon going around to different people they knew had needs, and they would try to meet those needs. It might have been a shut-in who needed visitation, it might have been somebody who was sick, needed medicine, but whatever need there was that they had been made aware of, they would go and they would try to meet that need. And I really loved the name of the program. It was called Blessed to Be a Blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And really, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to other people as well. You know, sometimes with human nature, it's really tempting to take the blessings that God has given us and just kind of consume them on ourselves and just enjoying them without thinking about being a channel and letting those blessings go to other people as well. I think we all maybe struggle with that. My dad told a story of when he was a little boy back in the 1950s and he was about 5 years old. He said that during those times, it was a hard time. His father had passed away and his mother was raising him alone and she didn't have much money. And so again, they always lived very scanty lives. But when he was five, on his mother, my grandmother's birthday, she decided that she wanted him to buy her a birthday present. So she took a dollar, which is a lot of money back then, and said, here, to her five-year-old son, my dad, go get a present for your mom for my birthday. And, you know, once a little five-year-old kid got the money, you can imagine what he wanted to do with it. So he went out and he spent almost all of it on himself. Candy and toys and all those types of things. And when he came back and his mother was wondering what he had gotten her for her birthday, she was so excited, probably didn't figure she'd get a present from anywhere else. She said, what did you give me, son? And all he had left, he reached out his hand. He had a 1 cent piece of bubble gum. He said, here you go, happy birthday. Wasn't much of a birthday present, but that's kind of human nature. And yet God wants us to go ahead and take the blessings, whatever they are, whether they're financial blessings, whether they're blessings of possessions we have, and share them with other people. We have to remember what our Lord Jesus said, that again, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So again, we should be thankful for the blessings, and remember to give those to other people that have needs as well. But number three, third, I think we should even give thanks for our leaders in America. Now, this one can be a tough one because not all of our leaders in America are good or godly. But let me read you what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 2. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and, catch this, giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Okay, now that's all well and good, but you could say, well, you know, maybe they had good leaders back then. Well, to really appreciate what Paul is saying here, you have to remember some of the authorities that were around during Paul's lifetime. People like Emperor Nero and King Herod, people who were terrible, ruthless tyrants, people who were immoral and persecuted Christians in terrible ways. And even Caiaphas, who was the high priest for a while during Paul's life, who conspired to have Christ killed. I mean, these were bad guys. Yet even though they were evil men, Paul told Timothy to not only pray for them, but to give thanks for them. Because we have to recognize, like Romans 13 says, that there is no power but of God, and that the powers that be are ordained of God. Or like Psalm 75 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And we don't know why God has put the people in power that he has. Sometimes we have great leaders, sometimes we have leaders that aren't so great. God may be using an ungodly leader to chasten his church or as judgment on a nation. And the Lord can certainly use ungodly leaders. He did so in the past. Think about like Nebuchadnezzar, who he used in the Old Testament. But he can use ungodly leaders in our own lives to make us pray for them more. Sometimes the worse they are, the more we realize how much more we need to be praying. And also, when we give thanks for our leaders, hopefully we'll learn to have more compassion for their souls if they're not saved and pray that God will work in their hearts and bring them to faith in himself. Because we know that with God, nothing is impossible. You know, it's interesting sometimes thinking about giving thanks for even sometimes bad things or bad people in our lives. It reminds me, maybe you've heard of the book The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. She was somebody who during the Holocaust hid Jews in Europe. She was from Harlem, the Netherlands, and she hid Jews. Again, fortunately, she was found out. The Hiding Place tells her story about going with her family to the concentration camp because of what she had done. And in the concentration camp, of course, it was brutal conditions, horrible conditions. They were without so much of the necessities of life, treated terribly. And one of the things that was most annoying of all was, beside the hardships of the regular day-to-day things that they had to do in the concentration camp, was when they went back to their barracks at night, they had fleas. And if anybody's dealt with fleas, you know, fleas are a horrible thing. They bite, they're annoying. They're irritating, and they were one of the most horrible things. So one time in the midst of the concentration camp, time that they were in, Corrie's sister, Betsy, was giving thanks to the Lord for even the things that they were going through during the hardships of the concentration. She thanked the Lord that, you know, she and her sister could be together, thank the Lord that they had enough to eat. And then she did something that Corrie was surprised at. She even gave thanks for the fleas. And Corrie was like, that's too much. What are you doing giving thanks to fleas for? There's nothing to give thanks for about fleas. And she said, the Bible says give thanks in all things. So Corrie didn't quite see eye to eye with that. But as they were in the concentration camp longer and longer, somebody smuggled a Bible in. And they were able to read, Corrie and Betsy, because they were saved, to read the Gospels and share the Gospel with the other ladies in the concentration camp. They were able to talk freely about the Lord, and they wondered why the German guards never came into their barracks. And they thought it was quite amazing, and they were able to really share the Gospel uninhibited. Well, it wasn't until much later in their stay there that they found out why the guards never wanted to go into their barracks. Guess what it was? It was because of the fleas. And Betsy turned to Corrie and said, I told you so. You know, again, we don't know why the Lord a lot of times brings hardships or hard people into our lives. Sometimes we've had presidents that were not godly people, that were taking the nation the wrong way. And we need to pray for their salvation. And we need to go ahead and be lights and call out the darkness and speak the truth in love. But at the same time, again, we need to be thankful for how God is even using people that we don't necessarily like, because we know, again, that God works all things together for good. But we can especially be thankful for godly leaders who love the Lord. And I'm so thankful for the godly leaders we have in our country, whether that would be a congressman or a senator, or could be a president, a governor, or it could be a lieutenant governor, could be somebody in the state assembly. But again, God has his people everywhere. And I'm so thankful for the godly leaders who do stand up for biblical truth in a darkening age. Proverbs 29:2 reminds us that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. But again, the Lord has his people everywhere. Queen Victoria, who is the queen for many, many decades, I think she was the longest serving queen in England's history back in the 1800s, she was asked one time, and of course she was a strong believer, she had a personal faith in Christ, but she was asked one time what her favorite thing was. And her response was interesting. She thought about it, and she responded, "I'm thankful for the letter M." The person said, "You're thankful for the letter M? What does that mean?" And she said, "I'm thankful for the letter M because the scripture says not many noble are called." She said, "I'm thankful for that M because otherwise it would say not any noble are called. But I'm one of the redeemed, so I'm thankful that I'm one of the exceptions to the rule. And I'm thankful that God, praise the Lord, has his people everywhere." And if you think about it, you know, even in Bible times, you had somebody like Joseph, who was in Egypt, who served under a Pharaoh, who wasn't a godly person, who was living in a culture that wasn't a godly culture. And yet, think about the light that he was there in Egypt. Or think about Daniel in Babylon, somebody who was around Nebuchadnezzar and later Darius, and neither of those kings were godly kings. And yet Daniel was a light there. And every chance these two got, Joseph and Daniel, they put in a good word for the Lord. They never fail. And it reminds us of what Jesus, our Lord and Savior, would say later on in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Because these men were living it out. "To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And America is a country where we are still free to be lights, to live out our faith, and to share it with others. I'd like to go ahead and finish today by reading the words of an old hymn that speaks of our founding fathers and the fact that they sought to follow the Lord in founding this country on biblical principles. And again, it gives us the freedom that we can still have today, because of the privilege of living in our country. It's a song that's often sung during the 4th of July, Independence Day, "God of Our Fathers." And it begins, "God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds in splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before thy throne arise. Thy love divine hath led us in the past. In this free land, by thee our lot is cast. Be thou our ruler, guardian, guide, and stay. Thy word our law, thy paths our chosen way. From war's alarms, from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. Thy true religion in our hearts increase. Thy bounteous goodness nourish us in peace. Refresh thy people on their toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Fill all our lives with love and grace divine, and glory, laud, and praise be ever thine." So thankful for the freedom that we have in this land. It's really a gift that we shouldn't take for granted. And if you haven't done so during this 4th of July season, make sure to tell the Lord thank you again for allowing us to live in a country where we can be lights, where we can be salt, where we can meet together, where we can worship Him freely, where we can share our faith, where we can glorify Him openly. God is good, and he's been good to us and given us such a blessing of being able to live in this land of liberty.